All right. The correct Morris Hall time is 3:15. We're going to call the Infrastructure and Tourism Appropriations Subcommittee to the order. Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll.
Chair Williamson?
Here.
Vice Chair Romo?
Here.
Representatives Arrington?
Here.
Bell?
Here.
Casella?
Here.
Cheney?
Here.
Daly?
Here.
Drake?
Here.
Ranking Member Hart?
Here.
Representatives Lamarca?
Here.
McFarland? Mooney?
Here.
Persons Malika?
Here.
Placencia? Silvers?
Here.
Quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
All right, a quorum is present today. Members, we've got a few people that have to get out to other committees to present bills, and try to get there and get back if you can. And we've got seven bills today on the agenda. We have a representative that is eagerly waiting to present his bill. So Representative Fernandez Barquin, you are recognized to explain CS for HB 139, motor vehicle and vessel registration data.
Hello. All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. So what my bill does is that it essentially clarifies that DHSMV, the Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles, will be authorized to provide tax collectors with real-time access to data related to motor vehicles. It'll allow the tax collectors to look up data in bulk, update in real time when a payment is made, use email addresses to communicate with customers, update addresses in real time, and clear registration holds more efficiently. And I ask for your support.
Thank you, Representative, for that explanation. We have no amendments today on this bill. Do we have questions for the bill sponsor? Questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing no questions, that moves us to public testimony. In public testimony, we have Robert Kanach with Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicle for information. We have Kevin Jacobs with Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicle for info, if anybody has a question. All right. That moves us to Timothy Qualls with the Florida Tax Collectors Association, waiving in support. Ronald Pierce with the Brevard County Tax Collectors, waiving in support. Kelly Millett with Grant Street Group, a proponent of the bill, waiving in support. Do we have any other public testimony? Seeing none, moves us to debate. Members in debate. Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on your bill.
To quote my good friend, Representative Anthony Rodriguez, and neighbor, I wave out.
All right, having waved out, Ms. Sabrina, please call the vote on CS for HB 139.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Romo? Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Casella?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Lamarca?
Yes, ma'am.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Placencia? Silvers?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 139 reported favorably. The second bill for today, which is Representative Driscoll, CS for HB 37, Abandoned Cemeteries. Representative Driscoll, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member. I really appreciate your time for hearing this bill, and it's an honor to introduce House Bill 37 to you. It, in essence, addresses abandoned African-American cemeteries. There was a time in our state when even our cemeteries were segregated. Historically, African-American cemeteries were not subject to regulations, upkeep, and other necessary efforts to uphold the dignity of the deceased compared to their counterparts. Moreover, the lands on which African-American cemeteries were contained at times were sold without any regards to those who were buried there. With House Bill 37, we now find our chance to work on this issue as a state and think through the best ways to honor those who were forgotten and oftentimes degraded. And that, Mr. Chair, is the bill.
Thank you, Representative. We have an amendment today, I believe.
That's correct.
That is an amendment barcoded 312301. Would you explain that amendment, please?
Yes, Mr. Chair. And the primary purpose of the amendment is to reduce the financial cost of the bill on the state by removing requirements for the Department of State to partner with the University of South Florida and Florida A&M University to do some of the work responsible for identifying the next of kin, and really just streamline this so that the bill currently would just consist of the task force who would start to think through the best practices, think through what the fiscal aspect might be, but at least get us started and get us underway.
Okay, do we have any questions today on that? Seeing no questions, that moves us to public testimony on the amendment. Seeing no public testimony, debate on the amendment. Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on the amendment.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. And as I mentioned before, you know, the purpose of this task force is to develop and recommend strategies that will preserve the history and ensure dignity and respect for the forgotten and the deceased. The legislation was developed in the summer of 2019 after the rediscovery of the Zion Cemetery in Tampa, a historical African-American cemetery that is currently buried under a housing development known as Robles Park. But as you've probably seen in the news, this is an issue statewide. There are cemeteries even here in Tallahassee buried under the Capital City Golf Course. There are some in Jacksonville, some recently discovered under Tropicana Field in St. Pete. There are some in Clearwater. It's really a statewide issue, and this task force will go a long way in thinking through how to address those issues. And I'd just like to thank you, Mr. Chair, and your staff for working with me to get the bill in a posture where it could move forward. And with that, I close and ask for your favorable support.
All right, having closed on the amendment, all in favor, or I move approval of the amendment without objection. Seeing no objection to the amendment is passed. And that moves us to questions on the bill. Do we have questions on the bill? Seeing no questions, moves us to public testimony on the bill. We have Matthew Forrest with Hillsborough County Board of County Commissioners waiving in support. We have Pamela Birch Fort with the Florida State Conference of NAACP Branches waving in support. Do we have any other public testimony? Seeing none. Members in debate. Ranking Member Hart, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Driscoll. Many of you all may not know, but that sits right in the heart of my district, the cemetery, the Zion Cemetery. And there's so many more. In fact, we found another one over at King High School. But I appreciate the fact that you brought the bill, and I thank you very much, Mr. Chair, for hearing that bill. We definitely would like to form that task force and see where the cemeteries are and what it is we can do in the future in ensuring that people know where their loved ones are and that they have not just died and been forgotten, but that we do care. So I thank you very much for the bill.
Okay. Do we have any other comments on the bill? Any debate? All right, seeing no debate, that moves us to a close. If you want to close again.
Thank you. No, I think the closing on the amendment will stand. The amendment was so critical to getting it to move forward, and I do appreciate it, Mr. Chair. And with that, I close.
I think you did a great job. So having closed, please call the vote on CS for HB 37.
Vice Chair Rommel. Representatives Arrington.
Yes.
Bell.
Yes.
Casella.
Yes.
Cheney.
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Lamarca? Yes. McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Placencia? Silvers?
Yes.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
13 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 37 reported favorably.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, committee.
Representative Duran, you're here waiting patiently. You have HB 501, specialty license plates. Representative, you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and ranking member and vice chair and committee. Good to be with you this afternoon. I wanted to present House Bill 501 that would create the Protect Biscayne Bay specialty license plate. This draws on some of the most successful regional examples of related successful plates related to water integrity, like the Indian River Lagoon and the Tampa Bay Estuary. These funds will, from the sale of the license plate, will be directed to the Miami Foundation to administer initiatives supporting habitat restoration, pollution prevention, and environmental education awareness initiatives. Mr. Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative, for that explanation. We have no amendments today on the bill, so that moves us to questions. Do we have questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing no questions, moves us to public testimony. I have no public testimony today on this bill. Members in debate. Seeing no debate, Representative, you are recognized to close on your bill.
Waive close, Mr. Chair.
Having waived close, Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 501.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Romo? Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Casella?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Lamarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
14 yeas, zero nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show HB 501 reported favorably.
Thank you.
Representative Robinson, you have HB 599 today,
yes,
which is also specialty license plates. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair, Vice Chair, and Ranking Member. This bill will have DHSMV to develop a disease prevention and early detection specialty license plate. The license plate's annual use fee shall be distributed to the Women's Breast and Heart Initiative Florida affiliate, a Florida nonprofit. Over 90% of the proceeds shall be used to provide increased education awareness related to early detection, prevention, and screening. I ask that you all would favorably move on this bill.
Having explained the bill, do we have any questions for the bill sponsor? Any questions for the bill sponsor? Representative Casella, you are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I love this. This is a great bill. For my own personal information, is there a certain benchmark of number of plates that have to be sold every year for this to stay in circulation?
You're recognized.
I'm not aware of it, but I do believe I did hear that they have to sell a certain amount for it to continue, but I don't have that number, so I'm not sure.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Representative Bell for a question.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, Robinson, for bringing this bill forward. There's a plate out there already for breast cancer awareness. Can you tell me what that revenue goes to? I mean, does it go for the prevention or afterwards?
I believe that
you're recognized.
Thank you, Chair. Sorry about that. I believe that goes more so for treatment afterwards. Right now, we want to concentrate on prevention. A lot of times, we react to a disease. Here, we want to get in front of it. We want to educate and try to get preventive measures and do early detection, because study shows that people live longer when this detected earlier. And if we can prevent it, then that'll be great.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have any other questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing no other questions, we are in public testimony. No public testimony today. Members in debate. Seeing no members in debate, you're welcome to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Many life-threatening diseases needlessly end in death. Early detection and prevention strategies produce excellent outcomes in combating diseases. Empowering Floridians to learn, live, and lead disease-deterrent lifestyles saves lives and financial resources while fostering a better quality of life. So if I could have your support on this bill, I think we'll be headed in the right direction.
Having closed on the bill, Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 599.
Vice Chair Romo? Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Casella?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Lamarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
14 yeas, zero nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show HB 599 reported favorably.
Thank you so much.
Representative Alupas, you have CS for HB 613, Tax Collector and License Plate Agency Operations. Representative, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good afternoon, members. CS for HB 613 is a bill that allows for tax collectors, if they so choose, to contract with license plate agencies to provide a limited number of driver's license services. That is the bill, Mr. Chair, and there are two amendments.
Okay, we have two amendments today. One is barcoded 019981. Just want to make sure that we got the right one. 019981, you're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. That amendment I would like to withdraw.
Okay. Show that amendment withdrawn. That moves us to the second amendment, which is barcoded 484331. You're recognized to explain your amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, subsequent to the last committee hearing on this bill, I've had a number of conversations with the stakeholders. And what we've decided to do is to actually create a pilot project that limits this bill to explicitly counties that have appointed tax collectors and to run the pilot project until 2025 and then to have that report issued back to the legislature to determine the impact of the legislation. That is the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Having explained the amendment, do we have any questions for the bill sponsor on the amendment? Representative Harrington, you are recognized for a question on the amendment.
Thank you, and I hope that this is on the amendment. Then does this change, the amendment change, the fiscal impact that is mentioned in the bill analysis?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My understanding is that it will because it limits it now only to the two counties that have appointed tax collectors.
So this, follow-up.
So this analysis was done before the amendment was filed then, correct?
Mr. Chair, yeah. Yes, Representative.
Okay, thank you.
Do we have any other questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, we're in public testimony. We do have public testimony on the amendment itself. We have Mr. Ronald Book with Florida Association of Motorist Service Providers, Inc., waving in support. We have Kelly Millett, Florida Association of Motorist Service Providers, Inc., proponent waving in support. Do we have any other public testimony on the amendment? Seeing none. That moves us to debate. Debate on the amendment. Seeing no debate, you're welcome to close on your amendment.
Waive close, Mr. Chair.
Having waived close on the amendment, I would like to move approval without objection on the amendment. Hearing none, the amendment passes. Do we have questions for the bill sponsor? No questions for the bill sponsor. That moves us to public testimony on the bill. All right, we have some public testimony on the bill. We have Kelly Millett with the Florida Association of Motor Service Providers, Inc., waving in support. We have Ronald Book, Florida Association of Motorist Service Providers, waving in support. We have Ronald Pierce with the Brevard County Tax Collectors, waving in opposition. We have Timothy Qualls with the Florida Tax Collectors Association, waving in opposition. Do we have any other public testimony before us today? Seeing none, that moves us to debate. Members in debate. Seeing no debate, Representative Bell. I was moving a little quick today. You were recognized in debate.
I had a question, but we'll go. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Representative Lupus. We spoke earlier, and I appreciate you explaining it to me because I've had calls from my tax collector and from others throughout the state. And I appreciate you coming back in and doing the amendment to the bill that would only allow the two. And I'm going to be up on this bill because after our talk today, my understanding is that they can only charge what the state of Florida charges, the $6.25 fee. And I wanted for that to go into the record because I wanted to make sure that our constituents or citizens of the state of Florida didn't know if they were going to use the service that they would be charged more and they could go to a regular driver license office. So I appreciate you getting with me and I will be up on the bill.
Thank you, Representative. Do we have anybody else in debate? Seeing none, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members, I would just like to acknowledge all of the stakeholders who have come to the table, explicitly the tax collectors who have come to me in the last 36 hours to share their concerns. I think what we have done is we've brought this bill to address a particularly unique situation in two counties that have appointed tax collectors where driver's license services are currently not being provided by the tax collectors. This is an opportunity for us to expand the footprint of services being provided to consumers. And again, at the end of the day, I will just reiterate, this is an entirely optional program. There is no mandate that any county has to implement this policy. And with that, I close, Mr. Chair.
Having closed on the bill, Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll on CS for HB 613.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Romo? Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Casella?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Lamarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Maluka?
Yes.
Placencia? Yes. Silvers?
Yeah.
14 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your votes, show CS for HB 613 reported favorably with the committee substitute as amended. Okay, that moves us to our final two bills. And we're going to get a two-for-one special today. I'm buying you some time, Representative Lamarca. You have HB 1385, Department of Transportation. You are recognized to explain your bill. That's as slow as I can talk.
You did fantastic, Mr. Chair. Ladies and gentlemen, members of this committee, HB 1385 is the Department of Transportation agency bill. And we have the director, we have the secretary and staff here. I'll go through the bill. The bill would first increase the debt service cap for right-of-way acquisition bonds and bridge construction bonds, which specifically increases the cap from $275 to $350 million. This limit has not been raised since 2007, and by raising it, the department can continue to provide necessary services in the future. Number two, Commercial Motor Vehicle Review Board. The Commercial Vehicle Review Board oversees appeals for citations from commercial motor vehicles, weight restrictions, commercial registration, et cetera, and it recommends to allow drivers to appear remotely on personal devices. Number three, the work program amendments. If Legislative Budget Commission cannot meet within 30 days of a proposed amendment, the chair and vice chair may authorize, and it's included in the 2020 implementing bill and set to expire on July 2021. Next, the MPO project priority deadline. The Metropolitan Planning Organizations and Transportation Planning Organizations are required to submit their priority projects to FDOT annually by October. This would be a change from October to August. Next is the move-over law changes. It adds the FDOT maintenance and construction vehicles. Move-over law currently includes law enforcement vehicles, emergency vehicles, sanitation, utility, and service vehicles and tow trucks. So this would add maintenance and construction vehicles for FDOT. Finally, the additional technical revisions which clarify the department's rulemaking authority with regard to airport zoning requirements, and it removes obsolete language related to service charges. That is the bill.
Sorry, Representative, I couldn't hear you through the mask. Do we have any questions? For the bill sponsor. Any questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing no questions, that moves us to public testimony. We have Kevin Tebow, our Director of Department of Transportation, here today. Thank you for being here. He is waving in support. Secretary, we appreciate you being here. Any other public testimony today? Seeing no other public testimony, that moves us to debate. Members in debate. Seeing no debate, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Wave close.
Having waived close, Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll on HB 1385.
Vice Chair Romo, Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Casella?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daley?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Lamarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Maluka?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show HB 1385 reported favorably. Representative Lamarca, you are doing double duty today. You have CS for HB 1463, Department of Economic Opportunity. You are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I take this moment to invite up the current director of the Department of Economic Opportunity, Mr. Dane Eagle, as we're presenting this. So HB 1463 is a comprehensive agency package for the Department of Economic Opportunity. I know the director is going to fill in some here as well, but specifically the bill changes the DEO agency's head title to Secretary of Economic Opportunity. It creates the Office of Economic Accountability and Transparency, creates a framework for the implementation of a modular cloud-based reemployment assistance system, which is governed by the Reemployment Assistance Modernization Strategic Planning Office to oversee the project and continued modernization efforts of the system. The bill directs the department to submit an annual report to the governor, president of the Senate, speaker of the House, that includes a summary of the continuous modernization efforts and a three-year outlook of recommended modernization projects, including project costs and timeframes for completion. The bill includes the process changes to the Reemployment Assistance Program to promote efficiency and timeliness, and it adds the agency head of DEO to the boards of directors for Enterprise Florida and Career Source Florida. And finally, the bill makes changes to the Florida Small Cities Community Develop Block grant programs to allow the DEO to administer the programs more efficiently. And Mr. Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you for that explanation. Do we have any questions of the bill sponsor on the bill? Ranking Member Hart, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep, for bringing the bill. I just have a couple of questions. And one is it relates to how many, this, I know that we're trying to revamp our unemployment compensation, and I understand that. I was just trying to find out how many people were denied as a result of our system, not necessarily the computers, but the system, the unemployment system.
Representative Walmarker, you're recognized, and if you feel that we need to get into public testimony for some further questioning, we can do that with Director Eagle here.
We can do that.
Okay, do you, Ranking Member Hart, you may have another question that might be more directed to the bill sponsor.
Okay,
or we can wait.
Well, then you don't want me to ask any questions as it relates to the unemployment?
Well, so we have Director Eagle here that might be more, have some more pinpoint answers
to
your questions.
Wait till we get
but
to...
you can ask some more of the bill sponsor if you like, but when we move to public testimony, which will be Director Eagle next, he might be better suited to answer some of them.
He probably is for the few that I do have.
Okay.
I'll wait.
Do we have any other questions for the bill sponsor? Okay, that moves us to public testimony. Director Eagle, you are here in public testimony. I don't know if you want to say a few words before we
have questions
from my ranking member.
Yes,
some good questions.
I see we have
questions. You're recognized.
I'm happy to answer them. But thank you, Chairman, Ranking Member Hart, members of the committee. Good to see you again. First, I want to start by saying this is way better than the DOT bill we just heard. But I'm a little biased. I just want a fellow agency head here. I want to thank Representative LaMarca for sponsoring this bill, and we've been working very close with the House and the Senate. And of course, the governor is fully behind this with his support. I want to get to the crux, the meat of it, and that's, of course, where some of the questions are. In the fiscal, since this is Appropriations Committee, it is remodernization of the Connect system. We all know the problems that we saw across the state in our communities this past year. We have delved in very deeply into how we can make this better. It does focus on the process, not necessarily the policy, but the process is the efficiency, whether you are going to be paid a dollar or $275 or some other amount by DEO, we want to make sure we pay you as quickly as possible. That's what this bill speaks to. As for making Connect better, I'm a fiscal conservative. Last thing I want to do is throw a bunch of money out the door, but we need to fix this problem. There's no question about it. If we do nothing, the system only gets worse. Technical debt adds up. We need to address it. And what this does is makes the system cloud-based. It makes it modular so that we can fix it more quickly if things do come up. Makes it more user-friendly so that everybody can access it. And of course, it addresses security as well. I've likened this also to what SpaceX has done with, and by no means are we SpaceX at DEO, but what they've done with the with their technology. They have the state-of-the-art Falcon X system. However, they've used pieces of the past. They've recycled the shuttle system. So we will take pieces of Connect that could work, but when we're done with this, with your all's approval, this will be a completely new system that will serve the taxpayers appropriately. But happy to answer questions.
Thank you, Director Eagle. Ranking Member Hart, you take your time. We've got all the time in the world until 5:15 tonight.
I'm gonna
recognize you for a series of questions, and I don't mind y'all having an open dialogue as long as you don't talk over each other. Ranking Member, you're recognized.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Mr. Eagle. We have met. A couple of questions. I'd like to know some of the reasons why our applicants were denied the unemployment through our other system. I'm going to say it was the system's fault.
So we, as a state, we do have laws that determine ABLE and availability. That is the backbone of unemployment in general, dating back to 1939. So we do have that. That's a federal backbone as well, and then the state looks to that to some degree. So there are people that are denied eligibility or denied because they were not eligible, either they didn't work a certain amount of time, they didn't work in the base period, whatever these equations might be. But what I do want to point out is, and I don't have the brute numbers, I can tell you that 800,000 people were rejected because they simply didn't make wages in the state of Florida. We had people all over the country applying for unemployment in Florida. So there was somewhat of a free-for-all across our country. We're dealing with a lot of fraud, as you might know. 200,000 people, I think the number is, were not eligible because they didn't make enough in the base period. So that might be something that you know are wanting to address. And the way that is, it, of course, is defined in statute, but also if they didn't make enough in the base period, their employers may not have paid much into the trust fund for them to be able to take out. So what I want to get at is that unemployment is not for everybody. It's for people that are in the workforce, either they're working or they are currently looking for employment. And if you're not eligible for unemployment, we have many other opportunities that the government would afford, whether that's temporary cash assistance, disability, other options that are out there. I just wanted to expound on that, but if you have further questions, happy to address them.
Thank you very much. Is it true that only about 10% of the people who applied actually were approved?
We can get you that number. I'll have to verify for you.
Do we have any idea how many people were in each one of those categories that were denied some form of unemployment?
Could you expound on that?
The ones that you just named. You said some because they had not earned enough money. Some was because their jobs did not pay enough in. So do we have any ideas as to where those numbers lined up?
Two pockets that I know because they are larger. It's the 800,000 who were denied because they didn't make wages, any wages in Florida, so they made zero. And then around 200,000 who didn't make enough wages.
One final question, Mr. Sure. Chair, and I'm done. Can you tell me if you are, I know that the Senate has a bill going through. Are you all looking to increase the dollar amount of unemployment here in the state of Florida since we are one of the lowest in our country?
The agency hasn't issued an opinion on that, but we decided to do because we knew that discussion would happen, and that's policy-based, and as policymakers, we knew that debate would be ongoing. We wanted to look at what we could do as an agency to make the process more efficient. So we look at this as the process bill rather than the policy bill. I know there are policy bills that are out there, but we wanted to focus on something that everybody could get behind. So as I said, whether you're paid $1, $275, or a larger amount if the legislature decides to do that, we want to make sure you're paid as quickly as possible. That is the agency's number one goal when it comes to unemployment assistance.
Do we have any other questions for Director Eagle while he's here? Okay. We appreciate you being here, sir.
Thank you.
Moving along in public testimony, we have John Schrader with the Department of Economic Opportunity waving in support. Karen Woodall with the Florida Center for Fiscal and Economic Policy. Ms. Woodall is a proponent, and you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Representative LaMarca, for bringing this bill forward. We do support this bill, but I do want to address the points that while it's a great first step in modernizing the process of unemployment. If we don't modernize the policy that informs the process, what we'll be doing is getting a great computer that can basically deny people quicker. We have to address the underlying policy, and I want to just, there are many, many issues involved with that, but I want to speak to one, and that pertains to the 200,000, estimated 200,000 that were denied because they didn't make enough wages. In the unemployment system back in the 1939s, when it was created, every state has a wage base. It's based on 5 quarters. And it's based on making a certain level of earnings. And those earnings are different in every state, by the way. Ours is a little bit high, but that's not the point. You have to have made that in 2 quarters out of the 5 quarters. But when the system was created, they said you couldn't use your most recent quarter, your 5th quarter. You had to do the first 4 quarters because employers had to snail mail their wage records to the state, right? So they wanted to build in time for that to happen. Now, everybody files electronically, and that's been going on for a number of years. All but 8 states have recognized that and adopted something called the alternative base period, so that if you don't meet the amount of wages you have to make because you had to skip a whole quarter of your earnings, you can count your most recent quarter. You still have to make the same amount of wages. You still have to have worked the same amount of time, but you are not penalized because you couldn't count your most recent quarter. Who gets impacted by this? low-wage seasonal workers. I became aware of this issue because of my work with migrant and seasonal farm workers. But it's not just farm workers. People who work seasons work to the very last day of the season, and then they have to file for unemployment because the season's over, and they're disqualified because they couldn't count a heavy wage period. And it's simply an issue of fairness. It's no special treatment. It's just acknowledging that now everything's computerized and there's no reason for folks to have to skip their most recent quarter of work. And then if they do, though, they count it and they don't make the wages, then they're not eligible. So we're hoping that this, and we understand that this is a process bill, but we also understand that it's a vehicle and none of the other bills that address policy in the House have been moving. So we would encourage you to look at addressing a number of issues, but particularly this one. And I want to be clear, it will allow extra people, additional people, to qualify for unemployment benefits. That's the point. They're being excluded now. But these are low-wage workers, so they're not going to be making the maximum benefit, whatever it is. They're going to be getting a portion of that, and they are very in need of having that additional assistance. That is insurance. It's not a public benefit program. It's their insurance for having work. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Woodall. Do we have any questions for the speaker? Okay. That moves us to our final public testimony. Mr. Richard Templin, Florida AFL-CIO. Mr. Templin, when I said we had all day here until 2:15 or 5:15, that was only for my ranking member now. You're recognized, sir.
Mr. Chairman, it's good to see you. I don't think that's happened in a while. It's great to see you, sir. I want to thank Representative LaMarca for this good bill, and I really want to thank Executive Director Eagle because some of the technology advancements that are included in this, moving to this modular system is really going to be helpful, and we really support that. But I want to remind everyone that as we saw the unemployment crisis unfold last year, there were essentially two phases. The first phase was getting into the computer system to submit an application. And I know that a lot of you heard from constituents, people, you know, it took days, they'd get kicked out, they'd have to log back in. That was the first wave. And fortunately, the governor and DEO brought in extra people, and we got through that wave. Now, during that time, we were having, I was interviewing with members of the media probably two or three times a week as someone who's been working on unemployment for a long time. And what I kept telling the press was, look, this is just the first phase. We're going to enter a second phase, and that's when people start realizing that because of changes made to the law back in 2011, they're going to be denied. They think that they're going to get benefits, and they're going to be denied based on changes that were made in 2011. So I'm here basically just to remind you, when we've had these conversations with Representative LaMarca, I hope that those will continue. I know he was gonna do some things on his end, we're gonna do some things on our end. All we wanna do is try and find a vehicle to get the most minuscule changes to the system to enhance eligibility, to fix what we saw last year. Now, remember, House Bill 15, Senate Bill 50, you just gave $1 billion taxpayer dollars to business to pay for their unemployment insurance premiums. $1 billion next year, $4 billion over the next few years. All we're asking is for some small fixes to take just a tiny bit of that money to try to improve the eligibility of the unemployment system. The eligibility for our system was better in 2010, and then was degenerated considerably in legislation passed in 2011. We just want to replace some of the smallest pieces of that so that people can get benefits at all. I know everybody talks about the maximum weekly benefit amount of $275 not being enough. That is nowhere near as important as the fact that our recipiency rate was between 10 and 14%. 10 and 14%, that means everybody else didn't get a dime. So we thank you for this opportunity to bring this up. Ms. Woodall and I have been very tenacious on this issue for about 20 years. So we appreciate you hearing our concerns and listening to us. Appreciate the sponsor for our conversations with him. And Mr. Chairman, it's always great to see you. Thank you.
Do we have any questions for the speaker? All right, Mr. Timbone, it's always good to see you too. Thank you, sir. Anybody else in public testimony today? Seeing no other public testimony, members in debate. Ranking Member Hart, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Look, I'm the only person saying anything today. I just want to say I do thank you for working on the system. We had thousands of calls, and I thank Executive Eagle for all the help that you gave me every time we called your office. I know you were a little sick of us, but we greatly appreciate it. It was very, very difficult, and I hope we never have to go back to that place. So working on our system, I know, is critically important, but I also know that we do have to work on how many people get approved and not make it as difficult as it was this past year for people to be able to get it, and when they're entitled to it, get it that much quicker. So thank you for the new system that you all are going to be working on, and I pray that we're able to help 1,000 more people.
Thank you, Ranking Member. Do we have anybody else in debate? Seeing no other debate, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I will say, as just like everybody here and the other 119 members of the Florida House, we were all doing constituent services quite a bit when this happened. And then I would say that when Director Eagle came in, things did seem to start running a little smoother. And John and the team were very helpful. I know that it was quite a monumentous task. That being said, what we have before us is an opportunity to make this a system that will go into the future. Without looking back and having those conversations, I think we had them all over the summer, this bill will do a lot to move the department forward. It would also do quite a bit to, as I mentioned early in the bill, it'll bring the director in line with the rest of the agency heads, and appreciate your favorable support in the bill.
Having closed on his bill, Ms. Sabrina, please call the roll for CS for HB 1463.
Chair Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Rommel? Representatives Arrington?
Yes.
Bell?
Yes.
Casella?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Drake?
Yes.
Ranking Member Hart?
Yes.
Representatives Lamarca?
Yes.
McFarland?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Persons Maluka?
Yes.
Placencia?
Yes.
Silvers?
Yes.
14 yeas, 0 nays, Mr. Chair.
Members, by your vote, show CS for HB 1463 reported favorably.
Thank you, sir. I would note that the DOT bill is a lot easier to carry than the DEO bill.
You did very well, Representative. Members, that concludes our agenda for today. Seeing no other business that needs to come before us, Representative Silvers moves we rise. And with that, we are adjourned.